You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you had a good day yesterday, and hope you even have a better day today and for the rest of the week. And I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and it has to get done, it must be done, and you will do it. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we love you. We respect you. We revere you. We honor you because of your perseverance and your tenacity and any other word I could come up with. That's right, brother and sister. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled, which reminds me to get with Brother Kwaku so he can put the most recent ones up on that page for you. Yes. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Monday from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming with Brother Jihad Ahmed out of Philadelphia. And that's followed by from 8 to 9 with Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then following that, from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Wednesday on 8 p.m., the Black Farmers Report. And if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., Eastern, you know what time it is? That's right. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturdays, 4 to 6. On Saturdays, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned business, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Go online to We, that products that we produce, the detergents and toothbrushes, toothpastes, you know, underwear. Hey, y'all, really, let's do this. Let's support one another. Let's do it. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba. We had him on the program when he got back from Senegal and Gambia. And, of course, we'll always have him on the program again, maybe before he goes. Well, he's going to Ghana May 24th to June 5th.
Then in November 18th through the 29th, going to Tanzania. And then at the end of the year, December 24th through January 5th, 2022, once again to Senegal and, no, excuse me, once again to Ghana. And then in April of next year, April 1st through the 11th, to Senegal and Gambia. And the price is maintained the same, $3,700. It is an excellent price, putting $400 down, pay on it monthly. By the time you didn't have to hurt yourself with doing this. You saved up. Not only did you pay up, and you saved up so you can have some money when you go to Ghana, when you go to Tanzania, when you go to Senegal and Gambia, or whatever the case may be, and it's going to be a trip of a lifetime. Go to facebook.com/Bomani to see pictures of previous tours and the most recent, which was Senegal and Gambia. Or go to youtube.com/Bomani 2007 for videos of previous tours. That's AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Baba Renoko Rashidi. Renoko has added a presentation. He has one coming up this week. This one is the African Presence in Early Europe. The African Presence in Early Europe. That is this Friday from 8 to 9:30. And then Saturday morning, May 1st, from 11 to 12:30. Go to Eventbrite /Renoko. Go to Eventbrite. And then the other one he just added, the following Friday, it's a special Mother's Day presentation. The Great Mother, Black women in our history, the Great Mother. That's Friday, and that's going to be from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. presentation. Of course, too, he has a tour to Ghana, July 18th through August 3rd, with Professor Smalls and Dr. Leonard Jeffries. And then as he continues, he's going to Kemet, July 31st to August 13th in Kemet. If you want more information, give Brother Renoko a call at 303-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. Renoko Rashidi, go to his website, drrenoko.com. Dr. Renoko, drrunoko.com. Habeshah. That's right, habeshahincorporated.org. Habeshahincorporated.org, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. The sustainable seeds, the golden growers, the black to our roots, the urban green jobs. Habeshah works. Brothers and sisters, these brothers and sisters of HabeshahIncorporated.org are doing the work. There are pictures of the Kashi Project in Ghana up on the site. They have a repatriation initiative where you learn that you can go to an 18-month step-by-step training program to go home to the motherland, to learn to go home to the motherland. And of course, that's what we need to do. HabeshahIncorporated.org. The LEDGE program, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics, theledgegroup.com. Brothers and sisters, go online, theledgegroup.com. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. And when you go to their site, they have a raffle. They're raffling off a safari in Tanzania. They're raffling off a safari in Tanzania. Of course, the LEDGE group deals with the four things that are vital to human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries and over 170 employed and over 260 members. Need more members. They need more brothers. And being a member in Tanzania, you can acquire land. You can acquire an acre of land for $250. Imagine you can get 4 acres for $1,000. 4 acres of land. Man, I tell you. Bibi Toomey. BBTumi.com, brothers and sisters. Go to BBTumi.com. They offer so much. They offer so much. BBTumi.com. I don't see the upcoming Saturday event, unfortunately. But go to BBTumi.com, and they have a wealth of information on the site. And you can communicate. But one of the things that I said, I'll say it again, we need to speak a language so we can communicate amongst ourselves. On BBTumi.com, you can learn Wolof, Akan, which is tree, Shanti. You can learn Medu Netcher, the ancient writings of the, you know, the Medu Netcher. And you can learn, which is, I feel is very important for us, is Swahili. Is to learn Swahili. Imagine communicating with one another through Swahili. So, you know, we have an opportunity to do some good things. And brothers and sisters, let's do them. Okay. All right. Ki Swahili. And Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End, right across the street from Soul Veg, up the street from Shrine of the Black Madonna, which of course is open on weekends. The Shrine is open from 1 to 7 on weekends. Take advantage of the beautiful stuff at the Shrine. They got everything. They got furniture, clothing, art, jewelry, artwork, and of course books. They have the red, black, and green shoes. They have it all at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. At Wadada's, they have healthy fruit, you know, delicious smoothies and health drinks. And on weekends, they have a vegan food for that vegan dinners. So check out Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located on Ralph David Abernathy. The number to call is 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. The Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia, she has a nice place. I gotta go by there, no doubt. In the Greenbrier Mall, she's on the main thoroughfare, and she has a fine selection of books, greeting cards, postcards, T-shirts, artwork, you name it. The Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. Kazimde Ajamu, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Brothers and sisters, there's light in the Black Dot. He has a coffee bar. He's got up and he's serving that delicious Cameroon Boyo and has other coffees and teas, bean pies, and finer selection of books. He also has the red, black, and green shoes. I mean, check out Brother Kazimde Ajamu at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa, every Thursday night. Tomorrow night there, Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. Us Lifting Us, ULU, at 9 p.m., from 9 to 10. If you just want to call to listen, you can do so. Or if you want to call, you have a question, comment, or concern, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road, Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. For more information, call my dear sister, Shelly Amonsette, at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. I mean, you know, she has all kinds of stuff at Sun Goddess Sense. You know, stuff to groom your hair, your beard, incense, oils, T-shirts. I mean, check it out. All right. Gabriela Rilia with Sanjay Dash Haiti, doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Go to her website at Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Baba Barudi and Mama Ya, they, of course, they have the Akaban Institute, where they're educating our young warriors, and we applaud them and we thank them for all that they do. I'm looking for my information here that I jotted down because they, oh, here it is. Here. This is it. All right, here. Man, all right, we got it. Yep, the quarterly is coming up Saturday, May 8th. And the quarterly is happening. And it's from 12 to 2, title of the quarterly, and on May 8th, Saturday, May 8th, Warriorhood, Healing, and Ma'at. Warriorhood, Healing, and Ma'at. This is Baba Barudi, the men's quarterly. It's $10 for men and $5 for warriors in training. The six men's quarterly, of course, put the information in the six men's quarterly. And your name, your email address. If you want to use PayPal, use yabarudi@yahoo.com. If you want to use Cash App, $YAA, the letter M, Barudi, B-A-R-U-T-I. The Sisters Circle quarterly is happening, also May 8th, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Same thing applies. Make that title, Sisters Quarterly. Put in your name and your email address. And you can use the same, of course, PayPal or Cash App. So the Barudis have an outstanding program upcoming. If you want to get books by Baba Barudi, go to AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com. You know he's a prolific writer and all that good stuff. So there that is. The Inye Sasim. Daily Revolutionary Thought, the Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. April 27th, yesterday was my birthday, but of course if it's my birthday, it is the birthday of a outstanding ancestor, and that is Dr. Ashakamusa Bereshango. That's right. Shakamusa Bereshango. I got, if I didn't have Brother Franklin Jones and Black Matrix coming on, I'd be talking about Dr. In fact, I might do that if I real soon have a presentation on Dr. Bereshango. Stop believing in these Caucasian holidays. April 27th, understanding safe distance helps us when setting up concrete rings of protection. Learning to apply these essentials while moving in a security detail presents even another dynamic. Sheldon Moreland. We cannot pretend that we live in a safe reality, at least not at the same time we are claiming to truly be sane. Our homes, workplace, streets, events, yards, and persons will all remain places which can be easily violated as long as we do not take commonsensical protections and precautions to protect them from danger. Without the security that knowledgeable preparedness brings, uncertainty and fear will continue to rule our existence to some degree or another. Uncertainty and fear and the stress which comes as a result of it must be reduced in order for us to live as decent, happy, thriving human beings. And again, this reduction will require action on our part. It can only come through us consciously applying these practical tools and methods in our lives, which leaves us more secure and comfortable in whatever surroundings we find ourselves in. We must protect ourselves. Affirm, I protect those I'm responsible for keeping safe. I protect those who I'm responsible for those for keeping safe. April 28th. For I am my mother's daughter, and the drums of Africa beat in my heart. They will not let me rest while there is a single Negro, boy or girl, without a chance to prove their worth. Mary McLeod Bethune. What should bother us the most is our seemingly inability to grasp the magnitude, threat, and nature of the source of an invasive problem until it is on top of us. Repeatedly, we cannot seem to see just how devastating Urugu's assault against us is until it is fully ravaging those we are immediately responsible for rearing and defending it against. Even when we have been repeatedly scientifically warned of its presence and trajectory, we still wait, standing spiritually, mentally, and physically, materially, and militarily naked. Equally bothersome is once we become aware, an enormous amount of time is wasted in debates raging between those who have gained insight and those who wish to never see. All the while, the disease merrily continues its destructive course without interruption. Our ancestors forewarned us that when elephants fight, it's the grass that suffers. No child of ours should suffer because of the time and energy wasted in this dysfunctional infighting of adults claiming to be African. Gluttonous egos should never be allowed to override or damage the possibility of a sovereign future of our progeny. All of our children should be given ways to prove their African worth. We must stop playing Battle of the Ego games long enough to consciously make and protect these ways. Affirm, my heart will always beat to the drums of Africa. Affirm, my heart will always beat to the drums of Africa. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. For you warriors out there, that's for sure. For you warriors. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude. Your attitude determines your behavior pattern, and your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with what you think, your philosophy, and it ends with what you do, your actions. So if your philosophy is that our sisters ain't nothing, they B's and H's and all that kind of madness, it begins with what you think. It ends with what you do. Then how will you treat them? But if your philosophy is our sisters are to be respected, are to be protected and cared for and loved, you will treat them with protection and caring and love. If your philosophy, sister, is our brothers ain't nothing, you know, he's ain't nothing, then that's how you're going to treat them. But if your philosophy is that men are to be supported, men are being to be encouraged and to be loved, you will treat them with love, courage, and support. Brothers and sisters, it begins with what we think and it ends with what we do. What you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself. And what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. In a process of learning, you read. And what you read, whoever produced that, they're telling you. They're telling you. So if you're reading information about yourself from solid African-centered scholars, warrior scholars, and so forth, you're being told about who you are historically, who you are culturally. And you can feel yourself with the knowledge of who you are. But if you've been told you ain't never done nothing, you were running around a jungle with your rag up your ass and a bone through your nose, and we came and civilized you. Depends upon who's doing the telling, doesn't it? I would suggest that you only listen to, you only read, you only those who of us are African-centered. In fact, everything that you touch should be a tool to help liberate Africa, to help liberate Africans. Everything. Everything you touch, everything you do, everything you read. What you have been told. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet, the builders, spade and shovel, the masons, troll and square, Africa's books of wisdom. Now go. Go now and build for eternity. Brother Lester Velt Middleton, who actually did that. He built the house in North Carolina. He built that house for him and his wife. He passed before it was totally completed, but it was almost there, based upon what Brother Gallman of South Carolina said at the ASCAC regional conference some months ago. I think it was back in March, I believe it was. March or February. But anyway, yeah, Brother Bernie Coleman. Once again, brothers and sisters, I'm suggesting that you go to YouTube and check out the documentary. Yes, it's 3.5 hours long, but it's well worth it. The movie, Great Pyramid K, 2019. We'll be talking about this probably next week. Probably next week I'll find out and see who has all watched it. I'm trying to get a good number of people to be a part of the discussion. And, of course, you too are invited. You know, whether you watched it or not, please take a listen. The movie, Great Pyramid K, 2019 on YouTube. Check it out. Also, next month is African Liberation Day, May 25th. I'm not sure when they're going to have festivities, because African Liberation Day is on a Tuesday. You know, it's on a Tuesday. So either they have it on the 22nd or they have it on the 29th. Either way, or have them both days. Have a week-long celebration. We need African Liberation Day, because Africa needs to be liberated from all this madness that's going on. It needs to be liberated from those of us who look like us, who have no allegiance to us, and do the bidding for the Chinese, who do the bidding for Europeans and Arabs and so forth. It needs to be liberated from them. It needs to be liberated directly from those who want to rape Africa or claim Africa for itself, like the Chinese. Talking about putting 300 million people, 300 million people on our continent. Nowhere on the planet do African people have any kind of authority, any kind of input, nothing, nowhere. But yet on the continent, you have all these things that are happening. Oh man, don't get me started, okay? You see, I'm still fired up on Monday. And well, I'm going to be there, because, you know, I saw a piece where somebody, some brother, a Chinese, wrote very arrogantly that the Chinese are supposed to do this. They're supposed to take Africa. Africans, they're the least intelligent people on the planet. China, look at us. Look at China. Look how advanced we are. You know, we're more than competing with any country on the planet. More than competing. We're advanced more than almost anybody. We're supposed to take Africa. They have all those resources. They don't know what the hell to do with them. So let's take them. We're claiming them. Oh, man. Brothers and sisters, we up in here trying to fight for, once again, some civil rights, some human rights. Not to be shot and killed, not to be massively imprisoned, not to be miseducated. We're constantly begging. We're still begging for seats on the Common Council, seats on the parish wards, seats in Congress, seats in the Senate, the president, all this madness. Damn this. Get all the information that is here for us to get, and that information must be about liberation for Africa, whether it's practical, whether it's philosophical, whether it's whatever it is, that's what it must be. Man, I can't say no more. I tell you. Well, let me get my guest in here. He is no stranger to this program. We thank him for constantly being able to come on. It's a good brother. And I want to introduce Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix. Brother Franklin Jones, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, brother. Always a pleasure to be on your program.
Oh, like, man, it's always good to have you, man. What you been up to?
Same old, teaching, spreading the information, spreading truth.
I've
been doing different podcasts. I've been doing YouTube videos also. So I've been getting around. I wanted to say, you know what we discussed about earlier, we said we're going to discuss about the escalated violence against Black people in America.
Right.
I did some research on how many Black people were killed this year by police officers. And I had
this year in 2021, or?
Yes, year alone.
Okay.
I had anticipated the number was going to be seven or eight, mm-hmm. because that's what I've seen in the media.
Right.
But when you do the research, 30 Black people have been killed this year by police. 30. So then I went and did research on how many Black people killed by police since the death of George Floyd. That number is 181.
Since
181
George...
Black people have been killed by police since George Floyd's death. So what you see is, you can tell if there is a perception management system that's in place. So we're not seeing most of these deaths. So the true raw numbers is worse than we are believing. If I'd asked you how many Black people died this year by police, how many would you have told me?
No, I would say this year, I would say this is the fourth month, almost the fifth month, about 20.
You're the 20? Okay, you're doing better than me, yes.
Yeah.
It was 30 and 181 since George Floyd. It's amazing that we see that there's only a segment of the stories that are making it in the media. For example, the Ahmaud story. That happened over a year ago, and we didn't hear about it until people started generating more publicity to it. It's appalling when you see our reality.
Right. And that's the other thing about that, Brother Frank, is that, you know, you just mentioned the number, and out of that number this year, only about three or four got national notoriety who were killed by police, you know?
Yeah. And that's deliberate. They're deliberately not putting everything out there. And the United States government takes on this thing called a benign neglect, where they don't address the problem. They just keep kicking the can down the road, gaslighting us. And, you know, it's amazing because they created this bill to protect Chinese. And it's amazing that, okay, we see Chinese being attacked, and I'm not justifying that it was okay. But we have Black people where 181 been killed, and there's no special bill for us.
Right.
It's still procrastinating.
Right. They still haven't passed the anti-lynching bill. You know.
Refusing.
Yeah. And that's why I keep saying, we keep begging them. We keep pleading for them. We pray that they'll do it. We hope and all these. And it never happens. Because why? It's not supposed to happen.
Yes.
You know, it hasn't happened, it's not happening, and it ain't going to happen. But yet, we keep holding out hope. But we still always must present to the people what is really happening, what is really going on, what they're really doing. And that's why I appreciate you, brother.
It's just despairing when you see more and more of the information while not doing anything to help us to correct, to rectify the problem. What they have done is this. There are two people locally in the Atlanta area last year who posted, we need to grab our guns. We need to defend ourselves. And you know, the cops went after both of those people. One was in Clayton County and one was in Atlanta. So while they're doing nothing, they're monitoring our activity on social media. Sure. And when we talk about raising arms against this, they're coming after us and arresting us right here in our communities. So you see the situation we're in.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing nothing. They're not putting out the information of how many of us are being killed because they're benefiting from it. And what's our reality? The reality is this. Although all white governments publicly profess equality for all people, they are unrelentingly committed to the preservation of their nation's white dominance and control. And this has always resulted in them developing a program to subdue and suppress the advancement and growth of the black population. We've seen it. We see that they even use the prison system when they did the enhanced sentencing for drugs. I used to work at a correction office. I was in the federal penitentiary. And I remember when this guy went to trial, a white guy. He went to trial for selling grams of cocaine. So when I locked him in the cell and walked away, he yells to me, I only got 12 years because I ain't had that nigga drug. I only got 12 years, he bragged. Then I've seen guys come back from trial and they've given 30 years for doing crack, a handful of crack. It's a hand sentencing. So then about 5 to 6 years ago, black lawyers went, you know, demanding changes on it. The U.S. government refused to change the law. You know, the U.S. government said, we're going to leave it to the discretion of the judges. So the judge still have the right to use the enhanced sentencing against black people. We're not really seeing our reality. They are enforcing, there are these rules that they are attacking our community, subduing our growth. And the problem is most of us, when we think of racism, we think of racism as a lynching or the Klansman, but as a systematic racism that's in place and is coming after us. We have to elevate our minds, educate our people, and develop kind of strategies because this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
For example, the situation we're having with the voting in across America, these restrictions, we saw the white man is devious. He started this during Obama's presidency. During Obama's presidency, they removed the federal voter protection bill that guaranteed our rights to be protected to vote. And they said that we no longer needed it anymore because the fact that we have a black president, it shows we don't need it anymore. And now down the road, you see the Republicans are now creating all of these unethical systems to prevent our votes. We see this system is in place. It's like you're helpless when you see how obvious it's becoming. And our situation has gotten worse further because due to the President Trump's blatant racism, he has fueled a base of white racism. And that base has become stronger. And now the other Republicans who used to be more subtle with their racism, they're now pandering to that racism. Fox is on television saying racism doesn't exist in America. There's no such thing as systematic racism. They're now pushing these alternative realities, just as Trump did. This is not a racist problem. We are not Americans that are racist. So we have a situation where we see things are getting worse. It's getting worse. So it creates a setting where when things were stable racism, many of our people were clueless to what's happening. Racism has now increased. So it's now more important for our people to wake up. We have to wake up because they're putting systems in place to maintain their dominance. Now, there's another thing they're working on you're going to see later on. You know that they created those, all Republican states are creating this system where abortions are not allowed, illegal. And now they came up with another law where if a woman leaves the state and has an abortion in another state, when she returns, she can be prosecuted.
Mm.
Now, in reality, they don't give a damn about black and brown babies. They just want the white babies' numbers to start increase. And here's how they're gonna make a loophole for the brown and black babies. They're gonna say that the poor is creating a burden on the state.
So therefore they can abort their kids. Ain't that a truth?
Yeah, they're gonna allow the poor to have abortions. But the reality is, when they say the poor, they're going to be referring to the black and brown. So there's a goal here to increase the birth rate of white babies and decrease the birth rate of black and brown babies. And the system is happening all around us. All around us. So our people must be made aware of what's happening.
Well, and also, because of the fact that they are decreasing and they'll continue to do so, they have made other groups in history honorary Caucasians. And now, the Asians are honorary Caucasians. There's a number of Asians, so that's why it was very easy for them to pass that anti-discrimination law against Asians. You know, and a protection law against Asians when people want to vamp on them and beat them up, as they've been doing. And unfortunately, I mean, I don't like that. But the bottom line is, Asians don't like us. There is no coalition for Asians. You know, they are just like Caucasians. They live in the suburbs. Yeah. They act just like and socialize with Caucasians. Yeah. So, you know,
is this the Asians started getting attacked with the COVID vaccine when Trump started calling it the China virus, started blaming them for the virus. Now, this happened within a year's time.
Right.
Black people have been mistreated in this country for 400 years, over 400 years, 402 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't done it for us.
That's right.
I mean, it's in our face, their disdain for us. Every other group has gotten reparation. Japanese got reparation for being put in internment camps. After slavery, the enslavers got reparation for losing their slaves. Black people have been here for 400 years, and they're still giving black people nothing.
Right. You know, there's a few places they're talking about reparations. One is Evanston, Illinois. And that situation was because they intentionally redlined the community. They showed that they did it. They put us in a particular place, devalued those properties and so forth. They lost generational wealth, you know. So these things were proven. They were proven. And so now they're going to come up with some way to compensate or make whole those brothers and sisters who had lived in Evanston since the turn of the last century, all the way up, and who suffered that. I think from the 50s, I believe it is. From the 1950s or 40s up into this present. And, you know, and that's cool. They're just like, there's another community that, the situation in California when they took that beachfront property from the brother and sister who had a beach where we could go to safely and, you know, go into the water, into the sand and so forth. They took that under eminent domain and no compensation. And for many years, you know, and I think there's something that is on the property now. And so now the city council in Southern California is going to give that property back and compensation back to that family and those family members who could take advantage of that. I mean, those are nice gesture.
Huh? I saw they said property is valued at $75 million.
$75 million. Well,
yeah,
you know,
that's the value of it.
Yeah, and that's good for their family, and that's good for the brothers and sisters in Evanston, Illinois. I'm fairly and firmly in favor of reparations, because not to get reparations does a dishonor and disservice to our ancestors who suffered tremendously. But I don't want to. To me, it's not about a paycheck. Reparations, the word reparations means to repair. We need to be repaired. We need to develop institutions, because that part of that repair is having institutions that are your own, that you can function, that you can be able to move forward, your people to move forward educationally, economically, and so forth. That's what we need. You know, I've said many... Go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay. I like to sum up that's what you said. Now, when you talked about that story, when I saw that, you saw this beautiful hotel they built next to the beach. Beautiful. And there are many stories like that all over America where black people immediately after slavery, rebuilt. We did so much. We built our roads. We had our own banks. We did everything. But the white man has kept those stories from our history books. And he's created a narrative that there's something internally wrong or less about black people. And some black people buying into it. That's why when and they buy into the narrative, there's something inherently wrong with us. But this is untrue. When you look at our accomplishment immediately following slavery, the white man stole time and time again, even Central Park in New York. They stole out these cities that we built.
Right.
They stole our wealth. They've attacked us. They killed us. And then their history books are designed to create the illusion that we've done nothing.
Exactly.
We've done nothing.
Exactly.
So there's a perception. And right now, there's another perception that we can expand on this. Right now, if you go into a room with 100 African-Americans and you start talking about reparations, a great percentage of them will walk out of the room. They walk out of the room because deep down, they feel that they don't deserve it. They feel that the enslavement of Africans did us a favor, because I'm glad I'm not in Africa. They feel that we had a dreadful society, so if they're embarrassed to ask for the money because they don't believe they deserve it. Now, whatever the oppressed starts thinking and behaving in a manner that benefits a dominant society, that is never accidental. Black people have been socialized to think against our own interests and think in ways that benefits the white society. This is why you have many black people who would not go and demand reparations. So you're standing alone. They're in a condition against it. They're in a condition to see slavery as more of a rescue mission that took us away from the backwards land of Africa. They've been miseducated to believe that most African slaves were fairly sold away. These narratives that they embed in our minds, we function based upon those narratives. So this is why we have these, where black people are saying, there's something inherently wrong with us. Slavery damaged our DNA, and not realizing that this mindset, there's so much facts against that, that there's something inherently wrong with us. Like, for example, after slavery, African Americans in the first 70 years went to the U.S. Patent Office and patented over 726 patents. The white society during that same time frame, the 70 years following slavery, the African Americans did more than double the amount of patents submitted by the whites.
You know, what's interesting about that is that the denial of the things that we did, you know.
But all of this, I mean, the world is scripted. The world is scripted. Those who control the narratives control what the world believes. So the white man, the world that we exist in, is falsely scripted to perpetrate the myth of white racial superiority. They create, like you always said, your favorite saying, true power is the ability to create narratives that benefits oneself, one group, and impose those narratives upon another people, and then have those people act according to those false narratives. Black people who don't seek reparation does so because they believe that slavery benefited us and it is a favor. Those black people who think there's something internally wrong with us, they do so because they're functioning based upon the narrative that the white society creates about us. It's all narratives. The reason why the Asians for so many years Asian Americans have never defended African Americans, because the African American image has been criminalized and denigrated by the white society. Those Asians are functioning based upon the propaganda that they receive. And the reason why that propaganda is necessary, according to the white society, to denigrate the image of black people, is to make sure that no other group will follow us in any revolution in the future. Because during the 1960s, African Americans had proven themselves as being the greatest threat against the system of white supremacy. So in the situation that they're in, they vilified us, denigrated us. So therefore, no other group will follow us in the future. You're supposed to attack your greatest threat. So everything that we're seeing, the things we're dealing with, the things that are people's behavior, they can all be linked back to social sciences. Like, there are people who have these think tanks white people, and they sit around, they put together what they're doing, how they're going to manipulate us. They control our education system, and they're brainwashing us. They don't use the word brainwashing. In the scientific term, it's called socialized. They're socializing by giving us their narrative, and we function based upon their narratives. And all of their narratives are distorted to serve their agenda. So everything we're saying, like we talked about Chinese earlier, yes, Chinese don't like black people, but who controls the image of black people? The white society.
Mm-hmm.
And the white society vilify and propagate negative images of black people because they vilify us to validate them as treatment of us. They dehumanize us with other sensitivity to our plight. This is also why foreigners come from other countries looking down at African Americans. Those foreigners who come here are looking down at African Americans. The only thing they know of African Americans is what they see in the media controlled by the white masses. You have people come from piss poor countries and say African Americans ain't shit. This is because there is a system in place, and the world is scripted, and we function based upon these scripts.
And see the problem we have is that we don't recognize that, and so we follow along with what has been scripted.
We don't
challenge it. We don't fight against it.
We don't.
Yeah, we go along to get along.
And then we become a part of our own denigration.
Yeah.
When we have black rappers on TV calling themselves niggers, calling women hoes, we become a part of our own denigration. Mm-hmm. And we don't understand that propaganda affects how people perceive us. It affects how people interact with us. It respects how we're respected. Like, for example, there's a saying they do where truth is not important. What's important is the narrative. The white man will put out a narrative, for example, said that IQ testing shows that whites are more intelligent than blacks. IQ testing said whites were, and they spread the propaganda. It's totally untrue. But here's the deal. According to the propaganda, truth is not important. What's important is what's perceived as true.
That's right.
Narrative starts to affect hiring practices, firing practices, promotion mm-hmm. practices. The society functions based upon the narrative that whites are superior or smarter.
Right.
And it's totally untrue. There's a science that they developed for maintaining their dominance. And it's a very proficient science. That's why Chinese hates us, because the white man's the reason why I hate us. The reason why when we go to China and we see the Chinese have those pictures of the little niggers, and the little sambos,
mm-hmm.
it's because the image of Africans has been controlled by the West for centuries. And the West created that image that we are the, and people function by it.
Well, you know, other thing is, too, they created other images of the indigenous people. They created the images of Japanese and Chinese in caricatures and caricatures. They've done all that, but the one that has stuck the most, the one that is still prevailing today, is the negative imagery that they created about us. And unfortunately, we believe it.
Replied.
Yeah.
It's being replied in different forms. Like when you watch the rap movies or the gangster, we're still seeing the thug. We're still seeing this scary, super violent, criminal black man. That is still being perpetuated. They control our image. They control our narrative. And many of us become those characters of ourselves that we accept as being our reality.
Yep. Well, listen, brother, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to ask you guys to join this conversation. There's a number of people who are on the queue, so you just hit star twice. Other than that, you can call 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Down in a breeze, brothers with their afros taking center stage, watching as this culture slowly comes of age with a mind of its own, yeah. Mothers out in the yard hanging up her clothes, fathers playing with the kids, keeping them on the go. Neighborhoods beating on the heart of its soul, and that's where my feelings live. 'Cause I love my people the way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Said I love my people.
I love.
Soul from the stove straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. I'm loving my people. Teachers off in the classroom giving up the love, supported by that mom and dad who want that special touch. Little acts of kindness prove to mean so much when we give what we know. Kitchen pots are banging, smell of soul food fills the air. Neighbor's house wishing you had dinner there. Better times for living when people seem to care about that place where they grow. That's why I love my people the way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my said I love my people.
I love.
So from the stove straight to the kitchen table, my heart's full of love, spirits in the flow, and I'm loving my people. Folks gather at the church on a Sunday morning. They sing and praise and gospel music's born. God gave us love enough with spirits free to run. Why can't we learn to love ourselves like we're the chosen ones? Come and let me know how your life is doing good. Tell me how the blessings flow through the neighborhood. Share with me that time of feelings understood in that place we call home. 'Cause I love my people the way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Say that I'm loving. From the stove straight to the kitchen table, my heart's full of love, spirits in the flow, and I'm loving my people. Said I love my people.
I love
the way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Say that I'm loving my.
I love.
Soul from the stove straight to the kitchen table. Can't nobody do it like us now. I'm loving my people. Say that I'm loving my.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, on Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Jihad Ahmed, followed by from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report on Wednesdays from 8 to 10. On, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays at 4 p.m. to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Once again, the announcement, this Saturday, on B.B. Toomey, ABIBITUMI.com, they have Saturday workshop, the Community Building Study Model. This is Brother Manua Pym, Professor Manua Pym. Brothers, I know we're all tired of lecturing and so forth. Here's an opportunity. This is a great presentation. We need work. We need action. I know there's some brothers and sisters who are making money off of lecturing on our problem, studying. And I understand that. And waking us up, this is what me and Brother Franklin are doing here now. But we need action. We need to say, this is what's going to be done. This is what must be done. This is what can be done. And you, this group, is going to do it, and you're going to do it by this time. We need that. We don't have, damn it, time. It's of the essence. We don't have time to wait. Time is of the essence. I mean, you know, when you talk about what the Chinese are doing on the continent, when you talk about what the Indians are doing, the Arabs are doing, and of course the Europeans are still there. Monday's presentation told you about neocolonialism. Colonialism is still in effect. We talked about Dr. Walter Rodney and his brilliant book, How Europe Underdeveloped Africa. A few months ago, we had the Caucasian on like a TED Talk or some workshop he was doing, talking about we cannot let Africa unite. We cannot let Africa develop and control their resources. We cannot let Africa be into production. We got to keep Africa poor for our benefit. Brothers and sisters, we live in an evil, damn it, world. And we can keep believing in fairy tales. Keep believing that somehow, some way, the sky daddy, as my good friend Jay would say, is going to look down on us favorably and smite all those who've been messing with us. That, damn it, ain't going to happen. Let me get back to my guest. Brother Franklin Jones, how you doing, brother, man?
Pleasure.
Yep.
You know, I was thinking when you were talking, but there is a recurring theme whenever we speak. And when other podcasts like this, we speak. The theme is this. We always speak about the injustices that we endure on the white oppression. And what always accompany our conversation about those injustices is the fact that a percentage of our Black people are endorsing the mindset, have a mindset that endorses the injustices, have a mindset that facilitates the injustice. And I think because we were born into this system, we've normalized it. But the fact that so many of our people mindset are ones that thinks in ways that benefit the white society, that is something we have to acknowledge and develop kind of strategies against. Our people are being socialized. And it's important that we develop a better understanding of it, because it's one of the white society's greatest weapon against us. Because before a person like you or I can even confront white racism, we now have to fight against so many of our own people that has been programmed to defend it. so many programs to defend it. And it's an obstacle that we can't ignore. It's an obstacle that we have to bring to the attention of the minds of our people, that this is not normal. We have, our culture is being negatively steered. And everything is by design. Like when you talk about it, brother, the white guy who has talked about Africa must stay undeveloped. There's a reality is this. It's within the white society's interest, as you know, to keep Africa underdeveloped. They need Africa's natural resources. And if Africa unified and created its own currency backed by its natural resources, that would cripple the Western economy. This is why whenever a black leader in Africa tries to create a movement that unifies them, or when Gaddafi was talking about one currency, they killed him. Because they have this thing that says, under national interest, under global interest, our liberation is against their interests. And this is our reality. And they do everything, every dirty act to protect their interests. Under the banner of protecting national interests, they will do any damn thing. And this is the reality that we have to see. The most black people are not aware of the underlying relationship that presently exists between themselves and the white society. And the reason why most don't, because most first don't know our true history. They're given a version of history that serves the white society. They're made to perceive themselves as their own enemy. We have to wake up and realize what's happening to us. It's within the white interest to, they put their foot on Africa because they need the resources. They cannot survive without the resources. Now think about this. You have these continents that needs resources to survive that comes from another continent. Think about that fact. And they're not going, so they want to keep their foot on that other continent. They create propaganda to create the image that the reason why they occupy Africa is because the Africans are not able to govern themselves. They're too corrupt. But they're in Africa because they need the resources. The white man always creates a narrative that exalts and exonerates himself. And so many of our people who are not aware of how propaganda works, we buy into those narratives. But when I was very young, I remember I always heard these negative narratives about Nigerians being the most corrupt, narratives being the worst. But even as a young man, I knew if the white society is putting so much time and energy into attacking the image of the Nigerian, and for that reason, I'm going to love and respect the Nigerians.
Mm-hmm.
I've always known that the interpretation of my people was it was funneled through lens controlled by the white man. So I've always looked at things opposite from the way the white man wants me to see it. We can move forward without confronting this system, without confronting what's been done to the minds of our people, we cannot. Because the mindset of our people has been distorted.
See, that's why.
We have to start teaching them how their mind got this way.
See, that's why I don't blame us. I put the blame where it squarely belongs. Many of us constantly blame us because of how we behave, the things that we do, and so forth, not understanding, as Minister Louis Farrakhan, you say, the hidden hand that's directing all of this.
Yeah.
You know, it's a planned attack.
I think the reality that most blacks don't realize, every black person, this is everyone, any black person who makes a negative generalization about his entire race, he is actually not able to validate nor quantify those negative generalizations based upon his own experiences. If he thinks he can, he's either a non-critical thinker or he's delusional. Mm-hmm. Because it's not humanly possible for an individual to judge millions of people based upon their own individual experiences. Those negative assessments of their race has actually been indoctrinated into your mind by white propagandists. White people control black people's narratives. Control black people's media images. So therefore, they control black people's interpretation of themselves. And keeping black people believing less of themselves or thinking negative of themselves It's how they maintain their social dominance. Dr. Henry Clark said a long time ago, to control the people, you must negatively control their perception, how they perceive themselves. Those black people who say, man, you know black folks this. You know, it frustrates me, but I know people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many times do you hear a black person says, if you want to hide something, hide from a black man, put it in the book.
Right.
But those who say that, it's preposterous. It's not reality. The Ebony Magazine, he became a multimillionaire selling books primarily to black people. But a big major millionaire. During the 2008 financial crash we had, many publishing companies went out of business. But the Ebony and Jet maintained through 2008 on the reach for black people. When you go to Barnes & Noble, when you go to Borders, they have a section put out for their African-American readers because they make so much money from the African-American, the African readers, black readers. But what happened is people hear the narrative and they start repeating the narrative. They start believing the worst about themselves and they don't understand how this system works. No black person is able to validate that deception. Those have been indoctrinated to our minds by white people. It makes us subservient towards them.
Yep. We're going to take a call. We're going to take a call. Good afternoon.
Hotep Oshie, what's going on? What's popping?
Hey,
it's Jay. Is it the man, the myth, the legend, my main man, Boogie Woogie, Franklin Jones. How are you, brother?
I'm doing fantastic, my brother. Nice to hear your voice, my brother. Fantastic.
Man, it's nice to hear your voice. It's been a while. I see that you still on point. You know, man, the beauty of you, Franklin, is you don't divert from your message too much, brother. You stay on code totally from the beginning of the end to what you saying, man. And that's why I have to honestly say you my boogie woogie man. You don't dance around or nothing. You just make it straight, no chaser, and make the point of we as a people got to get our act together, man.
Yeah,
we're
going to wake up.
We got to get our act together.
Yeah.
You know, Oshie, you were talking about a few minutes ago of the Chinese coming in and wanting to put in the continent millions of people because of their overpopulation in China.
Yes.
Now, the sadness is that we may allow this to happen. For what? I don't know why. For what reason? I don't know why. When we have all of the people there that need our assistance as a people to build and develop Africa into what other nationalities are doing. I just don't understand what's wrong with us. I mean, if you think about it, every other nationality in the world is doing the come up. And they're becoming more powerful, not only globally, but, you know, within their own homeland. I mean, you look at China. You look at Russia on a certain level. Now, we've been talking about years about the suffering, the so-called suffering of Russia, but it seems like they're maintaining themselves. And then you got a new emerging power that's about to be on the scene, India. What's going on with us as Africans?
Jay, and listeners, the only problem that we have is our lack of unity, functional unity. The bottom line to all these things that are affecting us as African people is our lack of functional unity. We have been so fragmented and so divided by design.
What I'd like to say is the difference between Africans and those other countries that the brother pointed out is that those other countries do not have the natural resources that the rest of the world needs. So there's not an incentive to to put your foot on those necks of those people. There is an incentive to keep Africa down because they need to be able to acquire Africa's natural resources. There is an objective to keep African military weak because they want to be able to get the resources whenever they want to. So when we look at these other countries who are thriving, we must remember that the West has an inherent interest in keeping Africa underdeveloped.
See, it,
they
here,
have an inherent interest.
Exactly. Here is Howard Nicholas. Howard Nicholas. And you go to YouTube, put in Howard Nicholas, Africa. Underdevelopment in Africa. What's the real story? Why? They have to keep Africa undeveloped. Why they got to keep the foot on Africa, just as you said, just as Brother Franklin said, because they want the resources. Other countries, there are 14 colonized places on the continent that are still in France's control, that is still in France's control, because they know, France knows that if it not for Africa, it would be a third world country. We got some other callers. Let me get to this caller particularly. 447-447. Good afternoon, or good morning, or good evening. Brother Paul? I got a lot of feedback, Brother Paul.
Hello, sorry. Oh, man. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah, you got some reverb. Go ahead, Brother Paul. Brother Paul? Brother Paul, go ahead. Well, you get it together, my brother, because I gotta mute you because I'm hearing, I got a lot of background noise.
So hey, Brother Oshie, so Paul calling you, so you're back up in England now?
Well, that's what we're going to find out once we get it together. 602, good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshie, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Brother Franklin Jones.
Good afternoon.
Right on, Brother Marcus.
Brother Franklin, we know that these Europeans are only one-tenth of the world population. So there have to be some complicity between elements in our race and those Europeans, because with them having just one-tenth of the world's population, they don't have the numbers to dominate. So they have to recruit from the same group of people that they are dominating.
Yes.
Speak a little bit on that and what we can do to knock these Negroes in the head, brother, because it's because of these complicit Negroes why these people are able to come in and do the stuff they do, you see? So we have to have some internal corrective force to knock these Negroes in the head. Just expound on that to me, brother, please.
Yes. Now, if we resort to knocking those in the head who have been brainwashed, it's going to backfire on us. It wouldn't help our cause. But what we can do is to start teaching this newer generation, educate them so we will grow a new generation who have the proper mindset. There's something called ideological subversion. And there's an ideological subversion that's been done to the African mind. It says to control the people, to introduce the people, you have to, one, you have to educate them from an education curriculum which is based upon the ideology of their oppressors. Then you must demoralize them unrelentingly through media propaganda. We are a people who have been educated under curriculums that benefits our oppressor's ideology has been embedded to our minds. And this programming has reinforced our entire lives through media subliminal programming. This is the reality. So we have our people who are, and another thing Brother just said, he said, we outnumber them. Yes, because we outnumber them, it's even more of a necessity for them to use psychological warfare against us. And that's what they do. And every war that the white society has deployed in the past, they've used psychological warfare. And we Africans are the greatest victims of their psychological warfare. Now, there are some people, like I said, there are three kinds of Africans, I say, three kinds of Africans in terms of liberation. There are, one, those who have the ability to see through the lies, are able to understand our truth. That African has the obligation to teach others. Then there's the other African who has the mental fortitude and the insight to know the truth when he hears it. Once he hears it, he has an obligation to share the truth. But then there's the third African. The third African, you can compare him to like a fruit that falls from a tree. He falls so far from the tree and it rolls so far from the roots, he's no longer of the tree. And there's nothing you can do to return that fruit back to the tree. He is what he is. So we are never going to get our people, everyone back on board. Those always going to be the stubborn ones whose minds have totally changed. They've been totally socialized. But it teaches that the way to reverse an ideological situation, they say you have to take control of your educational curriculum. And you must educate another 20 years of your people with the proper ideologies. I hate the word 20 because what the expert says, because it's kind of despairing at 20 years. This is why right now, if all black people decided to start educating our own children, that would scare the white establishment. They don't want to educate our own children because educating our children is where they first start to socialize our minds in ways that serves white supremacy. Now, we have to, the approach is this. So many of our people take the approach that's more, we are superstitious. And we look for supernatural remedies to our problems. We have to recognize our problem as a social science. There are social sciences that are being used to facilitate the long-term oppression of black people. We must learn the social science and then develop counter strategies. And the reason why there's a social science, because inherently within people are not designed to accept long-term oppression, not designed for it. So there are sciences. We have to understand the science. And here's the deal. Once people knows the truth changes them. The awareness of what's being done to a people and a necessity to survive or a necessity to free themselves, they develop counter strategies. So the goal is to give our people a clear and concise understanding of the science that's being used against us. We have to see it as a science and approach it as a science and develop counter strategies against it.
But brother, is it knocking them in the head that kind of strategy? Because
those who are stubborn, let them die out.
Go ahead, Marcus.
The reason I say that is because if you study the Chinese Revolution, when Mao Zedong came to power, all the imams, all the bishops, all the reverends, all those people, he put them in the dungeon. And he said, look, when God come, God is going to sign your release. All the pimps, the prostitutes, all those people, he gave them 2 years to clean up the act. And then he came back. And he had to kill 40 million Chinese to do that. To get China to where it is today, he had to kill 40 million Chinese. And, you know, we're going to have to take some drastic measures like that because we, you know, when our positive leaders rise up, they eliminate them.
Yes, yes.
So we have to change the strategy. We can't just be running like the wildebeest all over the place. You know, I remember, and Jay knows this for a fact, because Jay used to go to that Harriet Tubman school. When the nationalists, when Ilambe had his program on a Friday evening, the hall would be filled up. Overwhelming response. The nationalists go up there and we say, all right, next week we're having a meeting. We want everybody to come. Brother Oshie and Brother Franklin, you could count the amount of Negroes on your hand. You see, so it's not ignorance. It's not say, oh, fear. We don't know.
It's fear.
Yes. So we know what we have to do. We have to get behind them and push them forward. Because if we get out in the front,
you're not wrong, but I would say this.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a plan to do that, that's not something you'd broadcast. If there's a mindset or a plan to do that, you would never broadcast it on a platform like this. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. You so, wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because everybody's never, listening.
Yeah, this is not a place you would never broadcast it. My feeling, I understand you, but I would never broadcast it.
Go ahead, Marcus.
You, I got you. I feel what you're saying. You know, it's just frustrating, you know,
yes, because
you see us going down the tube and, you know, our people just, they're helping push us down the tube, you know? Yeah. So it's sad. Anyway, I'll continue listening.
All right, my
brother. You know what he said?
Hang on.
There's a...
Okay, I'm gonna try to get Brother Paul. 447, 447.
Hello, Ochi, can you hear me?
I sure can. Loud and clear, dear brother. How have you been? Can you hear me?
Oh, man. But I don't know what's going on here. One second. I think I'm just getting a bit of an echo. Let me just try and...
Well, it sounds good on this end now, so I hope that's the case.
Yeah, that sounds better. Yeah, you know, good afternoon to you. Good afternoon to Brother Franklin. Good afternoon to Brother Marcus, Brother Jay, and
right
all
on.
The rest of your listeners.
Right
good
on.
Afternoon to all of you.
Well, it's good to hear you, man. I haven't heard you in quite a while.
Absolutely. You know what it is to try and keep a roof over your head living on the plantation?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes they change shifts and stuff like that, you know, with the... very difficult to avoid in this current time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So but as much as I can listen in, I do try to, but I can't always call in, you know.
Okay, good. That's good to know, because I thought for a while you weren't even able to listen, but if I know that you're listening, that's always good, and it's definitely good when you get a chance to call in.
You know the funny thing as you say that, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with this. You know, why do white people always want to know what you're listening to?
Yay.
Sometimes I've got the phone on low volume, and they always ask me, what am I listening to, you know? Oh, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, Brother Franklin has become a little bit of a star over here. You know that.
That's right. I know. He's been on the radio multiple times. He was on consistently for a while on early in the morning. Ain't that right, Frank?
Yes, early in the morning, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Sister Shanice's show, he's on there regular, man. Yeah, man, that's all good. It's good stuff. Good stuff.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Given the opportunity to share the information. I really appreciate her.
Yeah, Franklin. And what's important is that, you know, it's so important. I was thinking this recently, yeah? For me personally, I think the best minds in the world are those who think globally. Because these people have actually conditioned us to think subjectively.
Yes.
Instead of objectively, they've conditioned us with narrow vision. They've conditioned us to think that the reality which we see around us is the real reality, when the real reality is universal.
Yes.
So we tend to have a very shallow vision of what's really taking place, and then they massage it with the media. They use the media to divert us and divert our attention and keep us distracted.
Yeah.
You know, a girl done, one girl over here done a little survey of how many African leaders have been assassinated in the last year or so.
Yeah, five of them. That's a program
no,
I did.
100. There's over 100 of them. There's over 100.
Oh.
Morocco, she was mentioning names I didn't even hear. Listen, man, these people are being taken out regular as clockwork.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I just, you know, I've always thought to myself, you know, the bottom line is, and I know a lot of people don't share this, but the reality of it is that this white man ain't going to give up one inch without a fight. He ain't going to give up one iota without a fight. And I just always felt that anybody, you know, I shouldn't even say this, but I just felt that, you know, I mean, I grew in England. I was born here, and I've just watched these people. And they're not going to give up one iota without blood. Never. No. Never, ever. And anybody who thinks so is in some dream, man. Dream reality. They're just not going to do it. It's not in them. Everything they've ascertained is through blood and murder.
Yes.
Rape.
That's
what they do.
That's what they do.
That is them. They go in there. They bamboozle, hoodwink the people, deceive the people, and behind their back is a gun or a knife, and they're going to use it. That's it.
Yeah.
So, you know, what point do we realize that we have to train the children that they're going to need to fight on every level, from physical, to mental, to social, and, you know, And I think I've come to the conclusion that a lot of us really don't know how to fight. I don't think a lot of us really know how to fight. And that's why we're frightened, because we think we know how to fight instinctively, but we don't really know how to fight.
Well, listen, Paul, we don't know how to fight strategically, tactically, but we know how to fight each other. We've been trained to fight each other. Nobody kills themselves more than we kill each other. No other group, no other cultural group on this planet kills themselves the way that we do. And not only here and in the States, because in the States is probably more prolific, but even on a continent. So, and even in the diaspora. So I'm saying, you're right. We don't know how to fight. Not an enemy. Not somebody who is outside of us, who are doing things to us and against us and making us do things to each other. No, we don't know how to fight that. In fact, a lot of us have been trained to believe that it is not happening. You know, that is a figment of our imagination. And so, therefore, we only want to believe what the society tells us to believe. And so, therefore, we continue to march, pray, vote, this, that, and the other. And getting it is the true definition of insanity, doing the same damn thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And this is what we get. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. But, you know, strategically for me personally, and, you know, like I said to you, Brother Ocho, I've been listening. You know, I although I don't ring in, I've been listening to the various radio stations, the various platforms, listening to what the people are saying. And, you know, one strategy for fighting back, it must be communication. For those who haven't got it in them to fight physically or do not see a possibility they'll ever fight physically. Some of us are born this way, Ochi. So we're going to fight come what way. And we're going to die and we're going to fight. That's it. But the bottom line is, strategically, communication is essential, you know. And if we are talking, if we're reaching out, and I mean this, reaching out, we can't just keep talking to each other all the time. We have to reach out, because I think sometimes in reaching out, right, when others see a witness that you're expanding, they feel the need to expand too. They follow, monkey see, monkey do. So the bottom line is, they will follow, and it's important that we talk to everyone. Because one thing that I can recognize they are doing, they control the narrative, and they are very deceitful in their narratives. Even on TV, whenever they show America, for instance, they constantly, just like they show Africa, always show the most deprived places in terms of black people. And anytime they're talking about white people affairs, they'll show the best areas. These are all tactics of war,
yeah,
propaganda tactics. So we need to communicate. We need to reach out. Because the thing is, Brother Ochi, the tools... It's not like before. The tools are here. We have the tools. This is how I'm able to communicate with you so easily. We have the tools. You know, we don't have to let them know all our business, but we must start speaking to ourselves on a global basis.
Yes.
And letting each other know what is taking place. So, Brother Franklin, what you do when you ring in on our local radio station, which expands all over England, it's a fantastic, absolutely potent objective, right? Because And I know they fear this the most because they do not want us to reach out. They do not want us to communicate. They do not want us to share information, because when we start sharing information, that's how we wake up.
Yes, it's absolutely, you're absolutely right. When I was in the military, we was trained to take out the enemy. The first thing was to take out his communication. We would go and cut his land wires. We would create absolutely. Jamming friction. As long as we could prevent them from communicating with each other, we were stronger. And that's the same thing that's happening in how they control Africa. They control the narrative. So those, and that same tactic that we were doing, the same thing how they control it. We control the narrative, control the information. They're listening in on our conversation. If they have an African leader who is doing something that's against their interest, they take him out. They continue to monitor and control the narrative.
So let me just add to that quickly, yeah? You see, I know the reason why we don't reach out, and we love to talk to each other, right? And we don't, because it's fear. We fear. We fear to talk out. We're scared. And we've got to admit it. We're scared to talk out. The communication tools are here. As simple as I'm ringing in here, it's just so simple. But we are frightened. We're frightened. We don't know what to say to each other. We're frightened. We just got to tell our story. That's it. We just got to tell our story in the way we feel best. So that people hear our voice, so that they are not controlling our voices. They are not controlling our narrative with their propaganda. Because propaganda, as you well know, Brother Franklin, is the first rule of war. And once you've conquered the person's mind, you're going to conquer their actions and conquer everything else. So we need to speak to each other on a global map. And for me personally, I think that's why they killed Malcolm X, because he represented a global figure.
Yes, he did.
World,
yes.
He came back. And they feared that the most. Feared that.
Yeah. And no one has followed his move since he passed. Not since his murder. He was doing the global. He was looking at the global community. He was doing it the right way. He was telling the preachers and the Muslims, he said, let's put our religious difference aside and let's come together as African people, regardless of your background. So, yeah, he did a great job. He was doing that. I love the brother for that. Very intelligent brother. He wanted to go before the UN, go before the world courts. He was moving in directions that scared the government most.
And see, I think that the deal is that he, as being a charismatic leader, we don't need a charismatic leader like Farrakhan or Malcolm or Dr. King or any other person that puts himself in a position. No, what we need at this very moment is a charismatic program and a cadre of leadership to go to the UN, to go to The Hague, whatever the hell we got to go, and state unequivocally, undeniably, as African people, we are reclaiming who we are. We're reclaiming our land. We're reclaiming our resources. We're educating ourselves. You know, we're putting these theologies in the back pocket, because Malcolm, once again, as you said it earlier, said it best. He said, when we come to the table of, you know, to talk about the issues affecting African people, if I come there talking about Islam, there's going to be some issues. If you come there talking about Christianity or Black Hebrew Israelites or whatever the hell you want to talk about other than what's affecting us as African people, we're going to have problems. Put it in your back pocket. Keep it at home, because they don't do to us what they do to us because we're Christians or Muslims or Seventh-day Adventists or Jehovah Witness. No, they do to us what they do to us because we're African people. And the bottom line is that they must suppress us. They must control us. They must deceive us. So therefore, we deceive ourselves. So no, I agree.
You know, I'm gonna there's an exercise I do. Become the white man for a minute. Become the white man for a minute. Now he's in a position where all the resources are under the feet of Africans, and he needs those resources for his survival. So he's always going to do nefarious tactics to hold on to be able to get those resources. Whether he's going to put corrupt governments in power in Africa under the deal that they will support him, whether they will, if they see groups trying to rise up against the West, they will have economic hitmen go and take out the economy or kill the leaders.
under their global interest of maintaining their white global dominance, they will do anything, anything. And as we know, there are two governments within every government. There's the public persona that gives the illusion of presenting equality for all groups. But then there's a shadow government who does many nefarious tactics that the public never learns about under national interest. Under national interest, they have unlimited funding. And they do things, and national interest includes protecting global white dominance. Global white dominance. This includes killing leaders. This includes destroying our crops in Africa. There are things they do because, in the end, the white society benefits. Their objective, they're unrelentingly committed to the preservation of their global white supremacy. And this unrelenting commitment to maintaining global white dominance requires and results with them doing many nefarious tactics against our people. So while they're killing and attacking our people, looking out for their interests, they have to also manipulate the minds of the masses, the black masses. So while one group is stealing, killing, the other group is manipulating the minds. We have to explain this to our people, show this to our people, and teach our people what's being done to our minds in order for us to liberate ourselves. I wish there was a harder, an easier way or a simpler way, but we have to educate, elevate the minds of our people. Our people don't see their puppet strings because they were born in the system. Those of us who see the strings have the obligation to point the strings out to the masses, to show where the thoughts are coming from. Many of our people are walking around who's never had an original thought, who's never read a book that was written by a European. So therefore, when we confront these people, we're seeing a black skin, of course, we're seeing an African standing before us, but his entire mind state is a European. This is the obstacle that's in our way. And the goal, the only way to fight propaganda is with counter-propaganda. Educate our people, teach our people what's being done to them. It's a slow process, but we must keep doing it.
See, but as long as we're here and we think our problem is here, we think our problem is the Congress, the Senate, the presidency, we think our problem is the educational institutions, the prison industrial complex, all of that. But the real problem for us is that Africans reclaim their mind. Africans develop a curriculum to educate themselves, particularly at a young age. That's where it should really start. It should start in the preschool, all the way up into the elementary, even into high school. And then once that's over now, hold on. Once that's over now, that those brothers and sisters who have been educated like that and under that tutelage of good, strong, African-minded educators, they can go anywhere in the world because they know who they are. They know what they're doing. They know what they're about. They know why they're there. You see, they're not after materialism or money. No, they're about liberation for African people. They're about self-determination for African people. They are about sovereignty for African people. You see, go ahead, brother.
You know, the education is the point. There's a young brother, an African brother in Ghana. He put a video on YouTube and he said the education that he's taught comes from the West. It's a European education.
Yes.
And this brother said there are these, he saw these African-Americans who returned to Africa and they went to the dungeons. And he said he saw these African-Americans on the ground crying. And he was in his 20s. And he said he did not know those were slave dungeons. Here he is, an African on the continent living next to the dungeon.
I know, because they call them castles.
Yes, he said he did not know that was those were the points of no return. One African said a story about seeing African Americans crying and falling down and start laughing at them. Now, the point is this: here you have, when you see Africans on the continent, I don't know much about slavery. It showed that the oppressors controlled our education.
Yes,
and so therefore there's a divide. When the Africans saw the African Americans falling down and crying and feeling having spiritual experience, They're like, what the hell's going on?
Listen, listen.
Now, I'm not saying all this, though, but the fact that there were significant young people who didn't know, this shows the effect of when the oppressors controlled our education.
Let me say this. Let me say this, brother, because I've witnessed it. I've been to Africa many times. I've witnessed it, particularly the last time I was there. Saw a school that was run by some Caucasians, but the school was run by some Africans, but the Caucasian provides the resources and the curriculum.
Yeah. Well.
They provide the resource and curriculum. And I remember a lot of these Africans, when a good sister, she's an ancestor now, Lady Salah Shabazz, Lady Salah, she had the Black Inventors Museum. And we took that museum to Ghana. We had it at the university and a couple of other places. And many people did not know all the things that we had done. Not only that, because we had some inventions by Ghanaians. They didn't know that either.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Yes.
You know, we are ignorant. And ignorance is not bad. Ignorance simply means absence of knowledge. We just need to impart the true knowledge to our people. They don't know.
Yes. The information is controlled by the oppressor. Let me talk about communication. So often when an African sees image of African-Americans, he is seen an image that's controlled by the white society. When an African-American sees a media image of Africans, we're seeing an image that's controlled by the white society. This allows the white society to keep us divided. They turn Africa into a source of shame for African-Americans. And that was deliberate because during the 1960s, they determined that African-Americans had an allegiance towards Africa. And they said this allegiance was the core factor for the Black militant movement and the Black pride movement. And they said African-Americans had developed a romanticized image of Africa. So they hired propagandists to negatively distort the image of Africa, turn Africa into a source of shame and humiliation for African-Americans. And now it has turned to shame. Now, many African-Americans would rather be called anything but an African. Many African-Americans would be called nigger than an African. This is all by design. You know, when many Africans on the continent see African Americans, they're seeing buffoonery, they're seeing criminals, they're seeing thugs. They come to America afraid of African Americans. Just because the white man controls how we see each other. This is also why all white nations want to educate Black children. Everyone is invested in educating Black children, Black people. It's not for our interest. It's for their interest. And because we were born into this mental slavery, we've normalized it. We've normalized being taught a curriculum where it said we did nothing. While in college, I'm taking a course in world history. And everything I'm taught about world history is the history of European conquest. I have taught nothing. We had a professor from Africa come to teach us. I started talking about the first thing ever written was written by the Greeks. So I raised my hand as a professor. This is not true. The Greeks were educated in Africa's Egypt. And the professor said to me, young man, I understand what you're saying. I know what you're saying is true, but I'm not committed to teach that here. While I'm here as a guest professor, I have to teach what they tell me to teach. This is a real system. The white man's monopoly over our minds. It's how he controls us. And regardless of how intelligent a person may be, if it's possible to control the input going to your mind, it's entirely possible to control what they believe. So long as the white man is controlling the curriculum in Africa, we're going to have these divides, these problems. As long as the white man controls what we're taught in America, that's his power. In fact, Zabrinsky, he was a famous political scientist. He had released him before he died. That was 4 years ago. Brilliant. He was also a presidential advisor.
Yeah, he was a national security advisor for Jimmy Carter. And I never forget reading the newspaper while I was a firefighter that morning. I'll never forget it. He said, we will do any and everything that we can to prevent Africans on the continent and Africans in the diaspora from ever uniting. We will always manipulate that. We will do everything that we can to prevent that.
And here's what he said after, right before dying, he said there exists a fear among the Western world, unlike they've ever experienced in history. Because this is the first time that in history that Africans are able to communicate globally. There's a fear. Now, unfortunately, we have the internet. There are a lot of those who have been socialized for so long, they don't care about liberation. But then there are those like us. We're communicating. And when we're communicating, we're also destroying stereotypes.
Yeah. Well, okay, but
Africans are the kind who thought we were all buffooneries, all ghettos, all call ourselves niggers. When they hear us speak, they say, oh, wait a minute. These guys are calling themselves niggers. These guys are thugs. So they recognize that they've been seeing a caricature of African Americans. They see there are black liberated minds of African Americans on the continent. When they call in from Africa, we talk to them and we see the same liberation. We are one people.
That's right.
Let me
get to some of our listeners. And Brother Paul, you got some closing remarks because we're at that time. I'm going to go
to. I just want to say this, Brother Ochi and Brother Franklin. Brother Franklin talked about that, you know, when you go into enemy territory, the first thing you do is cut communication. I just want to remind you and let you know, and Brother Franklin, that when I first started listening to Time for Awakening, I could freely just go onto the internet, the World Wide Web, as they call it, and access this radio station through various apps and whatever. Right now, if you try and access this radio station, it tells you, quite frankly, it's not available in your country. So if I'm sharing this information and this simple program, I want you to recognize how important communication is and make you know who's trying to block it. If I share this information, most people who don't really understand how this technology works won't be able to access this radio station. I don't know who's doing it. I don't know if it's anything to do with a radio station or a third party. I don't know. But I know that when you try and access it, you get, this is not available in your country. So please recognize how important these tools we have are and that we do need to reach out because they are actively trying to shut down our communication.
I hear you. Well, thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother Paul. Brother Marcus.
Yes, Brother Paul, right, because even here domestically, when you try to log on to the station, they keep cutting it off. So you got to keep refreshing it. They don't let it run smooth. So they're definitely doing something on that.
All right. Brother Jay.
Hey, man, it was a beautiful show. Good to hear Brother Paul. Sorry that he's not able to listen to the show like he used to. Hey, man, Franklin Jones is always you on code, brother. Stay on code, and look, everybody just hang in there. It can only get better. It can't get worse.
All right. And, of course, Brother Hotep, Brother Franklin Jones, you have the last word.
I just want to say thanks to everyone for having me on. And I'm always feeling the security aspect that I'm speaking to. I'm waking those up. And I love you all, my brother.
Thank you, dear brother. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivahardie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. I'll see you on Friday. Peace, family.